In Chazorah, basically, we're up to the Gemara in Zayin Amud Aleph, the whole sugya of Birchas HaMitzvah. We assume that all brachas are all midirabbanan, and that's why we have a klal sofik brachas lahokel. The Rambam's opinion happens to be that sofik brachas lahokel is even a stronger klal than sofik dirabbanan lakula, even in cases where you wouldn't apply sofik dirabbanan lakula, you would still say sofik brachas lahokel, but it has to start off. The whole assumption is that the brachas are only midirabbanan. They start off by saying that it's a suffix the Rabbana Lakula, and it's even more than that. If you have a brocha that's the Raisa, then you don't say suffix brochas lahakal. Take, for example, a person ate kidei sviya, he ate a meal. So the obligation to recite Birchas HaMazon is the Raisa. So if the person is mesupik, if he said Birchas HaMazon, we would say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that he has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. Suffix brochas lahachme, if the brocha is the Raisa. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot is of the opinion that Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chof, that Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Shagas Aryeh, who adopts this position of the Ramban, and he says if a person wakes up in the morning and he's in the Supik, he said some of the Brachas, he doesn't remember if he said Birchas HaTorah or not. So he says we would say Sofik the Raisa Lechumra. If he's Mesupik, if he said Birchas HaTorah, he would have to say again. That application of the Mishnah Berurah, B'Shem the Shagasai, that's really questionable. The Netziv has a tshuva in his collection of tshuvas called Neshiv Dovar. And the Netziv, son-in-law, Rabbi Foel Shapiro, Rabbi Foel Valozhiner, who happened to have been the father-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Foel has a Sefer Torah through Foel. So they both, the Netziv and the son-in-law, both talk about what seems to be a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. When you say Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa, what are you referring to? So the Bavli seems to assume that when the Yochid learns every day, there's an obligation in HaTorah to recite Birchas HaTorah every day when you learn. The Yerushalmi seems to hold that it only goes on Talmud Torah B'tzibur when you have Kriyas HaTorah. That's a din deraisa, that you have to say a bracha. According to the simple reading of the Bavli, if I say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, then I get an aliyah, and I say again, Asher Bo Chavanu, that's only midirabbana. That's not ben HaTorah. And let's say we'll decide the first, one of the early tshuvas in the Meish of Dover, maybe the second tshuva. I think the first tshuva in the Meish of Dover was a letter that he sent to the Chafetz Chaim. When he got a copy of the Mishnah Berurah, so he wasn't happy about what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, that if you wear an Arba Kamfis that's too small, that it's not really chayv and tzitz, a baby size Arba Kamfis. So it's a bracha leval tolah. If you say a bracha on mitzvah tzitzis, and it's an iso hoitzo on Shabbos, that you're in violation of hoitzo on the strings of the chutei hatzitzis. If you make a mitzvah by putting in the tzitzis, then it's mechubala beged kebeged tami, so then there's no violation of haitzoah. Just like there's no violation of haitzoah on the beged, there's no violation of haitzoah on the tzitzis either. But if the beged is not really chayv and tzitzis, and you put on tzitzis, then it's a masui. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's based on the Gemara in Menachah. So the Netziv sends a letter to the Chofetz Chaim. He received a copy of the Mishnah Berurah. He's not happy with that. He thinks that that's not true. That's the way the guy wears. He wears a baby-sized Arba Kamfis all the time. So what are you going to say? It's mechubal a beged, and that's why he wears the beged all week long. And the Gemara, what it says is, if you have tzitzis, if you have a talis with potsala tzitzis, and after on Shabbos, it's an iso haitzo on the strings, because after Shabbos is over, the fellow's going to take off the potsala tzitzis, he's going to put on kosher tzitzis. So the pasul tzitzis is b'chubul beged shaloi kedin, and he plans to remove it and to replace it with the strings that are kosher. That's why it's an eso haitzor. But if this is the way the guy wears the chutei tzitzis all week long, true, it's a bracha about tol if he says lehisat b'tzitzis, because they're not being mekayim any mitzvah. If it's a baby size, he wears the arba kamfis at the age of 20, same size that he wore when he was 2 years old. So that's a baby size arba kamfis. That's not. you're not yotzei any mitzvah with that. So it'll be a bracha lebatala, but it won't be an issur haitzah on Shabbos. There's no minimum size for a beggar. Let's say you wear a tie on Shabbos, it doesn't have a minimum size of a beggar, so it's an issur haitzah. That's the way the guy dresses. That's the way he wears it. And he wears it with strings on it. Women have dresses with strings. Men have jackets with strings. They can have any string you want. Anyway, but I think the second tshuva in the nation of Dova was one of the early tshuvas. I think it's the second tshuva that in Chicago, someone donated a Sefer Torah to the shul. So they made a celebration on Sunday when people don't go to work. So they made a hachnasa Sefer Torah, dancing and singing and music and everything. And then when they brought the Sefer Torah to the shul, so they decided they should make some money for the community. So they decided they're going to lay Kriyas HaTorah on Sunday. It was a regular Sunday. It wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So they were auctioning off the aliyahs to make money. And then they had the people say a bracha before and after the aliyah. So the some rabbanim said, what are you doing? It's a bracha levatala. Sunday is not a day that there's a takar. There's no takaron schacham to lay Kriyas HaTorah. It's not Chalamoid. It's not the Yantif. It's not Rosh Chodesh. So they had a big machloika, so they sent the shaila to the Netziv. So the Netziv says, you can't lane on a day where there's no Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah is the Raisa. Every day the Yochid says Birchas HaTorah. When you get an Aliyah, that's only Midirabbanan to say Birchas HaTorah. After you already said Birchas HaTorah once in the morning, the fact that you say a second time, that's only Midirabbanan. And the Chachamim were only mesakin to say a bracha on an aliyah if it's Sheni b'chamishi al Shabbos again to a chalamoid. But if it's none of the above, it's a Sunday, a regular Sunday, there's no takanas Chachamim, then it would be a bracha lebatol. According to the Yerushalmi, it wouldn't be so. According to the Yerushalmi, whenever you're laying Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, that's Birchas HaTorah deraisa. And the fact that even if you're not laying Kriyas HaTorah, that the Yochid has to recite Birchas HaTorah every day when he learns, that's the, according to the Rishami, that's only Midirabbanan. So the Netziv has a whole tshuva where he interprets the Magen Avraham. It's not explicit in the Magen Avraham. It says the Magen Avraham is recommending that one should not get involved in a Sufik bracha. Many Hasidim have the practice that, not only Hasidim, many Sfardim, many people have a practice that Leil Hoshana Rabbah, they take out a Sefer Torah and they lay in a lot. Or the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan, they'll take out a Sefer Torah after Shachris and they'll lay in the Parsha San Ezeel. Shivas Imam Eloim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when they completed the building of the Mishkan. So the Shivas Imam Eloim were the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. And then the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan, the first day, I think Nachshon Aminadav, Lamanta Yehuda brought karbonis, and each day for the first 12 days, someone else brought karbonis. And many have a practice that they take out a Sefer Torah and they lay in Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. So the Netziv interprets the Magen Avraham as saying that he's not talking about that particular minik, this kind of a thing you shouldn't do. That's a Torah's refoil also has like that Leil Hoshana Rabbah. You shouldn't lane from a Sefer Torah because if you lane B'tzibur with a Sefer Torah, according to the Yerushalmi, there's a Chiyuv Birchas HaTorah deraisa. And according to the Bavli, it'd be a bracha levatola because the Birchas HaTorah deraisa is only once a day, every day when the people learn. And when it's Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, you say another bracha, that's only Midirabbanan, but only when they're on Misaka and a Takana. And on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, there was no takana on the first 12 days in Chodesh Nissan. There was no takana, so that would be a bracha l'matola. So the Netziv interprets the Magen Avraham that the Magen Avraham is telling us to be choshish for the Yerushalmi, that you should never lane with tzibur unless it's chalamoid or something like that when there's a takana schachan. Anyway, so we have a few brachas that are deraisa. Brachas hamazon is deraisa if the person ate kedei sviya. There is an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Natam's opinion is that if you eat a kazayas of bread, you have to bench mina Torah, but we don't paskan like that. We have not accepted the Rabbi Natam. We paskan like Rashi, it's only Birchas HaMazon Daraisa if you ate kedei sviya. So if a person ate kedei sviya, and he's mesupik if he recited Birchas HaMazon, we won't say Safik Brachas Lachal, we'll say Safik Daraisa Lachumra. Has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon. If a person is Mesupik, Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Shagasari who adopts this Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, The Brichas HaTorah is the Raisa B'Yochid every day, once a day. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens that if a person is Mesupik, if he said Brichas HaTorah in the morning, he has to say again. The fact that we say three brachas, Lasik B'Dirisar and Harivna Shabbat HaBanu, that's not Ben HaTorah, that's Ben HaRabbanim. Ben HaTorah, you have to say one bracha, you have to say three. So pick, if you're Mesupik, if you said Brichas HaTorah, so say one of the three. Don't say all three. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to say the last one. Because it's a very elegant bracha, very fancy bracha. What else would be a bracha that's deraisa? Kiddush on Shabbos deraisa. Kiddush on Yontav is a machlekes, the Rambam in the Magen Mishnah, where the Kiddush on Yontav is deraisa derabban. That's a person is mesupik if he said Kiddush or not. So we may say that safek deraisa l'chomer. That's a question. Maybe a yotze Kiddush deraisa. The Gemara says, there was a period of time that the Chachamim made a takana, you should say Kiddush and Abdullah ala yayin, ala kos. And then the people couldn't afford wine, it's expensive. So they changed that takana and they said, you ate Kiddush betfila. And Abdullah betfila, they daven on Friday night, that's Kiddush betfila. And Chazra the Hashiru, so they made the takana, you should be ate Kiddush betfila and Kiddush ala kos, both. You should do it, you should say Kiddush twice. So that's a question. Once you said Kiddush B'Tfila, maybe Yotze, the Pashto says that you Yotze Kiddush D'Raisa. The obligation to repeat Kiddush a second time, Ala Kos, is only Midrabbana. So if a person would be Mesupik, if he said Kiddush a second time, that would be a Sofik D'Rabbana, Lekula. There wouldn't be a Sofik D'Raisa. But in principle, if a person would be, that case happens out to work out. But Sofik Brachas L'Hakal only applies when the Brachas D'Rabbana. So that's the question. What's the story with Brichas HaMitzvah? So the Yerushalmi says that there's a hekesh, one of the Midrash HaTorah, the Rashi Spam, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, one next to the other, we assume that there's a connection between the two dinim. So the Torah says in a few places, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us HaTorah v'HaMitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that there's a hekesh, just like Torah requires a Brichas HaTorah before, that's been a Torah, so to HaMitzvah, when you're about to fulfill a mitzvah, you require a bracha. So some of Farshim learn in the Yerushalmi that just like Brichas HaTorah is Daraisa, Brichas HaMitzvah, Kol HaMitzvah is Kulam, Baruch HaLeim, Bavul HaSiyasam. Gemara here is quoting a Tosefta on the last parak in Brachas. So that's also Daraisa. The Babli says Beferish, not so. The Babli in Brachas says Beferish, that Brichas HaMitzvah is only the Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, let's say a person will shake a lulav and he won't say a bracha. He'll put on tefillin, he'll be mafish truma and he won't say a bracha. So the Gemara says, the bracha is not mi'akev. One is in fulfillment of the mitzvah, even if he doesn't recite the bracha. And the logic behind it, the Gemara says, it has to be like that because the mitzvah is deraisa and the bracha is only mid'rabbanan. So how can you say that you're not yotze the mitzvah of lulav because you didn't say a bracha? And the level of deraisa, there's no need to recite any bracha. Since the bracha is only the rabbanan, the mitzvah is mid deraisa, it cannot be that it's makkah. The Gemara is beferish that Brichas HaMitzvah is only mid rabbanan. Some achronim wanted to say, based on that lashon Gemara, what if the whole mitzvah is only mid rabbanan? So if the mitzvah is mid rabbanan, there's room to argue the point and say that the bracha is mi'akev, kach tikno chachamim. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a discussion about that possibility. The only reason why the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Brachas, the first daf, I think it's daf Yudalit. The only reason why the Brichas HaMitzvah can't be Miyakeh because the mitzvah is Mederaisa and the Brachas is Mederabbanan. But if the mitzvah would be Mederabbanan, the Brachas is Mederabbanan. So there's room to argue the point and say that the Brachas is Miyakeh. There's room to argue the point, but we don't hold like that. The other way there's room to argue, and that daf, in the Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara says it cannot be that a Brichas HaMitzvah is me'akev in the mitzvah. You can't say you're not yotze tefillin if you don't say the bracha, because tefillin is a mitzvah in the Torah, and the bracha is only with the Rabbanon. So the Tosfei Harosh makes an innocent comment on the Gemara. But the Gemara would appear that if you have a mitzvah deraisa, where you're mechuyev to say a bracha mederaisa, there's room to argue the point and say that the bracha would be mi'akev. So the Prima Gadim raises the possibility. Parsha Zohar is deraisa, and you have to say, he's thinking like the Yerushalmi, that Birchas Hatorah is only Daraisa. He's making an assumption. He doesn't even spell out what his assumption is. The Prima Gadim raises the possibility that maybe if you lay in Parsha Zohar without a bracha, maybe not Yotze the Mitzvah Parsha Zohar. Because the bracha is Daraisa when you have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. We assume, according to the Babli, the bracha is only Daraisa. Every person, when he wakes up in the morning, has to say Birchas Hatorah. When you get an aliyah that you have to say another time Birchas HaTorah, we assume that that's, according to the Babli, that's only the Rabbanim. But somehow the Prima Gadim was assuming that Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa when you get an aliyah, when you lay in Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Even though you already said a bracha in the morning, that's Birchas HaTorah Daraisa. So he says, according to this diuk that the Tosfos HaRosh made in the Gemara, that the Birchas HaMitzvah is not Miyakim because the bracha is only Midrabanan. The mitzvah of tefillin is minatara, mitzvah of truma is minatara. But if you would have a mitzvah deraisa where there's a bracha deraisa, like Parsha Zohar, the bracha is deraisa, then there's room to say that you're not yotzei Parsha Zohar. So that, we don't follow that opinion. How do I know you don't follow that opinion? The Sefer HaChinuch lists off what in his opinion are the Taryag mitzvahs. So he writes Parsha Zohar. He writes his one din to wipe out Amalek. There's one mitzvah to lay in Parsha Zohar. He's not sure how often does one have to lay in Parsha Zohar. Is it enough once in a lifetime or once every few years? Maybe once every year, like the Chachamim one Misaka, and every year, the Shabbos before Purim. You have to lay in Parsha Zohar. So the Shabbos before Purim, that part is only Midrabbanan. But he says maybe the din menatar is once a year, every year. Why should it be once a year, every year? So that's what's famous from the Chasam Sefer, that it says, Lo Sishkach, Zohar Eshashal Chalamalek, Lo Sishkach, so the Shir Shikcha is Yud Beis Chodesh. The Gemara says, as far as Yush is concerned, if a person lost something and he didn't find it and the whole year goes by, the assume is probably going to forget about it. He's probably going to give up hope of ever finding it. So since the Shir Shikcha is Yud Beis Chodesh, so that's what the Chasam Sefer interprets within the Sefer HaChinuch. Why does he think maybe the nature of the mitzvah is once a year, every year? Because usually the Shir Shikcha is Be'chadosh, and it says, Lo Sishkach, you shouldn't forget. So there's a Chiyuv to lay in Parsha Zohar, and some Achrenim say, based on a Rosh and Brachas, that the Chiyuv to lay in Parsha Zohar is Ba'asor. You have to lay in it with Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. Yeah. So the Sefer HaChinuch adds on, every mitzvah, he always tells you who is obligated to observe the mitzvah, only men, only women, or men and women. So he says he thinks that this mitzvah only applies to the men. Women are not obligated to hear Parsha Zohar because the whole idea of Parsha Zohar is that the men should be ready to serve in the army to wage war against Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, and the women are not drafted into the army. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. So there were those who questioned the validity of this Sefer HaChinuch. Minchas Chinuch raises the question, maybe women are mechuyev? Maybe the women are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. They should encourage their husbands to go to the army to fight against Amalek. But the Minchas Chinuch didn't do anything about it. So Rav Nosson Adler was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was a Yekke. He was born in Frankfurt. He always signs all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotten Mi Frankfurt, even after he moved to Hungary. He was not born in Hungary. He was a Yekke, and he continued to observe all the Yekkeshim in Hagim throughout his life. He always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. It didn't turn out like that, but he was always interested in going back. So in Frankfurt, his two rabbeim were, the rabbi of the town was the Hafloah, Pinchas Horovitz, or Pinchas, the safe Hafloah is the Rosh Yeshiva, Harab Pinchas Levi Ish Horovitz. He was the Rav. The Hafloah was a big guy. He wrote the Panim Yofes and Chumash also. Some call it the Hafloah and Chumash. And then his Rebbe every day was Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler was an original thinker. He had a lot of original ideas. And by the Yekkes, they don't like any change. So they kicked him out of, Frankfurt because he was changing too many minhagim. So one of the things that he got away with, that he did change, was he instituted that on Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos Parsha Zohar, a lot of the women have little babies, so they don't go to shul in the morning. The husband goes to shul. So the missing Parsha Zohar, so the Sefer HaChinuch, right, the women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. Rav Nosson Adler introduced in Germany, and they followed it. They still follow it today. in the Breuers community that they're from Frankfurt. And Shabbos afternoon, 5 minutes before Mincha, they lay over Parsha Zohar on behalf of the women. Whoever missed in the morning should hear the Parsha Zohar in the afternoon. But they don't say a bracha. They don't say, it's not Takanos Chacham to lay in the afternoon. So they don't say bracha. Before they say Ashrei, before Mincha, take out a Sefer Torah, they lay in Parsha Zohar and they put it back without a bracha. Then they say Ashrei and they daven Mincha and they lay in Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, they say a bracha. That's a Takanos Chacham. So we assume that you yotze Parsha Zohar, even if you don't say the Birchas HaTorah. So that was the Prima Gadim's Shaila. But according to the Diuk that the Tosfei HaRosh made on the Gemara, Gemara says that a Birchas HaMitzvah is not Miyakev because the Mitzvah is Deraisa and the Birchas HaMitzvah is only Midrabanan. So the Mashmois of the Gemara is if you would have a case where it's a Mitzvah Deraisa and the Birchas HaMitzvah is Deraisa, like Parsha Zohar, Birchas HaTorah is Deraisa, the Tzibur is thinking like the Yerushalmi, then the bracha should be Miyakev. So that's the issue that he read. That's why in yeshivas, when the lame Parsha Zohar, so they always make an announcement, everybody should have a mind to be yotze with Parsha Zohar and to be yotze with the bracha also. That's that idea. That, what do you mean yotze with the bracha? The guy gets the aliyah, says the bracha. What does it have to do with the listeners? Because of this Prima Gadim, because the Prima Gadim made such a deal. So the right before the war, Rabbi Hanan Wasserman was one of the great Gedolim. He learned perhaps Shimon Shkop and Telz, then he learned perhaps Chaim Soloveitchik and Malozhin. So Rabbi Hanan Wasserman corresponded with the Dvar Avraham. Avraham was the rabbi in Kovna before the war. He died in the Kovna ghetto under the Nazis before they had a chance to kill him. So he died because there was so much sickness, there was so much disease in the ghetto. So he died. He learned Barab Chaim Soloveitchik in Volozhin also. He was from the Beis Harav. Beis Harav in Lithuania meant the descendants of Barab Chaim Volozhin. Somehow the descendants of the Vilna Gaon that was not the Yichus. The big Yichus was the descendants of Barab Chaim Volozhin. That's called the Beis Harav. So he was the Soloveitchiks are also from the Beis Harav. So he has very lomdish tshuvas. He has the new style of tshuvas, not the old style. They're different, like Rab. He every so often he'll quote something that heard from Rab Chaim Soloveitchik in Volozhin in the yeshiva. So the Rabbi Hanan Wasserman corresponded with the Kovner Rav on this topic. How come when we lay in Parsha Zohar in the afternoon, we're not choshish for this shita, and we assume. And then we assume that you yotze Parsha Zohar even without the bracha. So he answers, he writes, he's never heard of any posuk who said that you're not yotze. But he never heard of any posuk, the Prima Gadim. He didn't look. Prima Gadim is a major posuk. He didn't look. But he answers that Birchas HaTorah, he answers like the Bavli. He doesn't talk about what the Netziv said, Rabbi Feuerhans. He says, Birchas HaTorah's Deraisa means when every day a person should say Birchas HaTorah in the morning before it start learning. The din that you have to say another Birchas HaTorah when you get an aliyah, that's only Midrabanan, that's not Minatorah. That's what Rabbi Foil and the Netzibot, that's what they both said. That point is a dispute between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. Rabbi Hanan Wasserman assumes like the Bavli that the Birchas HaTorah Deraisa you got to say in the morning. When you get an aliyah, you have to say a bracha. That's only midrabanan. A second bracha on the same day. That's only midrabanan. So that can be miyakev in the parsha. That's what he answers in the letter that he sent to the Dvar Avraham. That's included in the Sefer Dvar Avraham. So there is a requirement to say brachas hamitzvah when one is about to perform a mitzvah. Yeah.
We're saying that the bracha is not miyakev. How is that from the Rambam that says that it's a matir? That meaning, if it's not, even though it's not
ma'akiv,
are you still
ma'al?
Like,
what is the other? Midrabanan. They said you're not allowed to do a mitzvah unless you say a bracha in advance. But minatara, you're obligated to do the mitzvah. Even if you don't recite the bracha, midrabanan, they said you need rishus to do a mitzvah, minatara. You need rishus, and you get rishus if you say the bracha. But the whole idea is only midrabanan, like brichas hanenin is only midrabanan. It's a matir. You're not allowed to eat any food without first saying a bracha. Yeah. Yeah. So there is a requirement. Kol ha-mitzvos kulam avarach aleim o'vel asiyosim. When we say kol ha-mitzvos kulam, that only applies to mitzvahs deraisa, does it even apply to mitzvah derabbanan as well? Kol ha-mitzvos kulam avarach aleim o'vel asiyosim. Because in the Nusach HaBracha it says, "Shekadoshana b'mitzvah yisav v'etzivano." HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't instruct us to do mitzvahs with the Rabbanon. The obligation to observe mitzvahs with the Rabbanon is only with the Rabbanon. So is one obligated to recite the Brichas HaMitzvah when he fulfills a mitzvah with the Rabbanon? So the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara here is quoting pieces from the Gemara Sukkah Daf Mevav. The Gemara in Sukkah there has a machlokes regarding lulav called Shiva. On the first day of Sukkot, it says, Nechum shalakachtum lechem b'yam arishin, creates hadu ekapis tmar. First day of Sukkot, there's a biblical obligation to shake the dalaminim all over the world. Then the pasuk ends off, ismachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yam. You should rejoice, you should celebrate in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the duration of 7 days. And the Mishnah in Sukkot makes the statement, lulav nita b'migdush kol shiva. That in our Torah there's an obligation to shake lulav and dalet minim all 7 days. That's how the Torah Shebaal Peh had a tradition. Smachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. How do you fulfill a smachtem? By having a lulav called shiva. After the destruction, but all over the rest of the world outside, that's lulav nital ba migdosh called shiva, only a migdosh. What does it mean, migdosh? So that's a question. So everybody learns migdosh means in the base hamigdosh. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is there, quotes a line from the Talmud Yerushalmi that lulav nital b'migdosh kol shiva refers to the whole Ir Hatika. The whole old city has a lower level of kedushas hamigdosh. That's why you can eat korban pesach, you can eat kochim kalim mechol ha'ir, because the whole Yerushalayim has a lower level of kedushas hamigdosh. We have the Minchas Chinuch points out, Rav Soloveitchik used to say this over, you have different psukim in Chumash and in Tanakh where the phrase appears Lefnei Hashem. So sometimes Lefnei Hashem means in the Azor of a Shochet as Ben Abokah Lefnei Hashem, the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. When you bring a carbon oil on, when you bring any carbon, you have to shecht it in the Azor. The Shochet as Ben Abokah Lefnei Hashem means in the Azor. Then sometimes Lefnei Hashem means in the Harabayis. It doesn't necessarily mean in the Azor, like it says, Bachatzotzos v'kol shafo hariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. That's in Tehillim. That's in Psukkah Zimra from Tehillim. What does that mean? That on Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah all over the world to blow shofar. On Tanis Sibra, all over the world, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzaitzvahs. In the Beis HaMikdosh, on Rosh Hashanah, and on Tanis Sibra, you blow both shofar and chatzaitzvah. Whenever you blow one, you blow both. But that's only in the Harabayis. Chatzaitzvahs, we call shofar, Ariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara, that's only Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. That's in the Harabayis. Then the third pasuk says, "Ve'chalta sham lefnei Hashem alakecha ma'ase digon chubisirosh chavitzarecha v'chores bekarcha utzaynecha." You should eat in Yerushalayim kochim kalim and ma'ase sheni. So the same phrase lefnei Hashem alakecha sometimes means Yerushalayim, sometimes means the whole Harabayis, and sometimes it only means the Azara. The answer is that they're all correct. You have to figure out based on the context. Minchas Chinuch points to that. Based on the context, Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes it refers to a deeper degree of Kedushas. There's a deeper degree than the Azara. There's the Hechel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even deeper degrees. Mishnah has in the first parak in Kelim, Esek Kedushas saying, 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. The highest level of Kedushas HaMikdash is Bein Abadim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So once in a while, the din requires Davka Lefnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But sometimes it goes on all of Yerushalayim. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos writes, Lulav Nital Bamigdosh Kol Shiva, it's a Din Deraisa, means the whole Ir Atika, the whole old city, because it has, in a certain sense, a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. That's not the generally accepted opinion. The Rambam himself in the Mishnah Torah does not quote that Yerushalmi. He only quotes it in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Bianca Vettlinger, who was a rabbi in Germany, he's the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch and Rabbi Nathan Adler. Nassen Adler, who was the chief rabbi of England for a while, not the same, Nassen Adler, who was the rabbi of the Chassam Sofer later, a contemporary of Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch. So this Rabbi Yanke Vettlinger wrote the first sefer that he wrote, he called Bikuri Yankov. That was Bikurim, his name was Yankov, Yanke Vettlinger. He wrote the Binyan Zion on Charles and Chuvis, and he wrote Oroch Laner and the Gemara. He went to university, so they say that years ago, I don't know if they still have this attitude now, years ago in Lakewood, they ripped off the first page they used Aruch Laner, but because it went to university, so they don't want people to know who wrote the Sefer. So they ripped off the title page of the Sefer. So it's an anonymous Sefer. Okay. It's a good Sefer. Aruch Laner is a good Sefer. So the first Sefer that he put out is called Bikuri Yankif, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in every page. It has all the dinim of Sukkah and Dalad Minim and Hilchas Sukkahs, the Yom Tov Sukkahs. Very good Sefer. So he raises the possibility that Bizman HaZeh, let's say Chol HaMoed Sukkahs, a person davens in Beit Hagana, he davens in Tel Aviv, and then he drives to Yerushalayim and he goes to, they have a big duchening, but they have now, they don't allow it because of the COVID. But in a normal year, in Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkahs, they have throngs of people, tens of thousands of people come to the Kosel Maravis for this big duchening event, on Chol HaMoed Sukkahs and Chol HaMoed Pesach. So he raises the possibility that even though he already shook lulav in Tel Aviv or wherever he lives in Beit Hagana, Be'er Sharm, whatever, but he comes to the Ir Atika, maybe now he's mechuyav to shake a lulav in Atar, according to the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos. Lulav nital b'migdosh kol shiva means the whole Ir Atika, and the Rambam paskins that kedushas hamigdosh and kedushas Yerushalayim is also kedushas hamigdosh. Is Kitchalosi Lava. It still has the same Kedusha. Still has the same Kedusha that it always had. So even though he already shook a lulav in the morning when he davened in Tel Aviv, his mechuyav began to shake a lulav the second time in this, and now he's mechuyav in Atar, and he goes to the Ir Atika. And a lot of times when you go this year, no one's going. But on a normal year, when you go to the Ir Atika, Chol HaMoed Sukkahs, a good Samaritan will always walk up to you and ask you, you want to shake a lulav, I'll give you a matan manas lahachzir. What do you need a matan manas lahachzir? You only need shalachem on the first 2 days of Sukkot. And it's all only on the first day. What do you need shalachem? The rest of Sukkot, you don't need shalachem. The answer is, Tyson's opinion is, that lulav nita b'migdush kol shiva, you need shalachem all 7 days. The Ramban argues with Tyson. Ramban holds it two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is ulakachtem lachem. Ulakachtem, the mitzvah lakachtem is only on the first day of Sukkot, and that's lachem, yishalachem. You need shalachem. Smachtem is a different mitzvah. You need the dalam ninin to fulfill a mitzvah of smachtem, but it's not a mitzvah ulakachtem, it's a mitzvah of smachtem. So there's no need for lachem. But Tosfos that learns not so. Tosfos on the first daf in Perek Lulava Gozel understands whenever lulav is there, I say, you need shalachem. So on the not only on the first day of Sukkot, you would need on Chol HaMoed Sukkot also. If you're following that Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, that lulav nita b'migdosh kol shiva covers the whole Ir Atika, not just the Beis HaMigdosh, so then you would need shalachem. So that's what that was a common occurrence. When you go visit the Ir Atika and Chol HaMoed Sukkot, someone will walk over to you and ask you, would you want to have a matan manas l'achse to take my dalamin and to be yotze? That's to be choshish for the shita of the Aruch Laner. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Yechem Ben Zakkai was the chief rabbi for 40 years. He's the Rosh HaSanhedrin. The Gemara says he lived 120 years. So the first 40 years of his life, he worked for a living, and then he retired at the age of 40. And then he started learning seriously, and he finished learning in a tremendous way. He completed learning Kol HaTorah Kula at the age of 80. And from 80 to 120, he was the chief rabbi for 40 years, the head of the Sanhedrin for 40 years. The Gemara says part of his being the head of the Sanhedrin was Bizman HaBayis, and part was after the Churban HaBayis. He was the head of the Sanhedrin when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara has in Gittin, Perek HaNezokin, the Agadatha of the Churban. So the Gemara tells us that Bechem Menzaka was the chief rabbi at that time. So he and his bezin made 9 takonis, and the Mishnah lists off all the 9 takonis. So one of the 9 takonis was, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be forgotten that there ever was such a din of lulav nital kol shiva, because the Chumash only says, lakach techem b'yom harishon, only on the first day. So that people should remember that there used to be such an institution of lulav nital b'migdash kol shiva. So they made a takone, midirabbanan, that you should make a zecher l'migdash, we should shake a lulav all 7 days, midirabbanan. So the Gemara says, when we shake the lulav all 7 days, it's only midirabbanan, you don't need shalachem. And some machlekes is when you need hadar or not. We machmen that you do need hadar, but some disagree. So the Gemara has a machlekes since the whole Netilas Lulav Kol Shiva Bayas, after the first day is Deraisa Lulav. Second day is because we treat it as if it's a Sveika Diyoma. So we treat it as if it's a Sveika Deraisa. But the fact that we shake the Lulav the rest, the other 5 days of Sukkis, that's only Zechel and Migdash Midirabbanon. So that's a Machloikis and Nigmar Sukkah and Dach Mem Vav. Can you really say Bracha Shekadishon of the Mitzvah Yisavit Sivon? Or it doesn't make any sense? So halacha lemaisa, we pass them that you do say a bracha. The Gemara says, therefore we say a bracha when you light Neres Chanukah, when you read Mikra Megillah, even though Megillah and Chanukah is only with the Rabbanim, but you still say Kedushana b'mitzvah Yisav v'tzivon. That's the Gemara has the famous discussion, the Hecham Tzivonu, in Perek Pamei Madlikin. You have the whole sugi of Adlokas Neres Chanukah. The Gemara says, how can you say v'tzivonu? Hecham Tzivonu, where's the saying the Chumash? You have to like Neres Chanukah, you have to read the Megillah. So Gemara has a machlokes hamaroim. Which pasuk in the Chumash is the pasuk that tells us that we're obligated to observe mitzvahs even midirabbanan? So the first opinion in the Gemara is that it says lo sasam mekol adavah shegidol choyam in a small. You have to listen to every pasuk that the Beis Din HaGadol issues. So even if they invent a mitzvah midirabbanan, you're obligated to observe the mitzvah midirabbanan. The Rambam paskens like that opinion that the pasuk that is mechayiv us to observe the mitzvahs from the rabbanon is that pasuk losasam kol adavah shagid alachayam in small. The Ramban says there never was such an opinion, that the first opinion in the Gemara that is based on losasar was only intended as an asmachta. The first opinion never really meant like that. How does he come off to say such a thing? Because that's a loshan haGemara in brachas and daf yutes. Gemara has a whole sugi about kavod abrius. That kavod abrius is a consideration. Let's say a person is sleeping in bed, he doesn't have any clothes on, he has no pajamas on, and he's a kohen, and then they scream out loud, someone died in the house. He has to run out immediately. A kohen is not allowed to remain in the oil amase, he's going to run out. He doesn't have any underwear on. So there's an issue of kavod abrius. Is he allowed to stay in the oil amase for a minute to put on some clothing, or they say no, imim shum kavod abrius, he's not allowed to violate any isur. So Gemara has a whole discussion, when do you consider kavod abrius, when do you not consider kavod abrius? So the Gemara says, Gemara quotes a brisa, godol kavod abrius, it's such a significant consideration, shedechal oisesem in ator. Kavod abrius is so important that people have the right to maintain the human dignity. They can violate an Issa deraisa out of kavod abrius. The Gemara says, but you're not allowed to. The Gemara says, the halacha is, you're not allowed to violate any dinim deraisa, only dinim derabbanan, the whole bunch of heterim. When are you allowed to violate dinim mishum kavod abrius? Basically, the rabbanan, it's not deraisas. So the Gemara says, no, that's what it meant in the braisa. Godol kavod abrius, it is deicha derabbanan, and the obligating force to observe dinim derabbanan is the pasuk, the loises. So the Gemara's lashon there in Brachas Dav Chaf is called midi the Rabbanan, akrod the losasas mechuhu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made an asmachta. So the Ramban says, there you have it. That opinion in Perek Mamem Adlikin, that the binding force, the pasuk that tells us we're obligated to observe dinam the Rabbanan, is losasar was only intended as an asmachta. So the Ramban says that Braisa only, the Gemara says that Braisa only meant it as an asmachta. So that's not a real mocker. So he says, the Ramban claims the real mocker is the second pasuk. And he says, no one ever held the first pasuk was a serious mocker. Second pasuk is, the Ramban thinks that that's really the mocker. What's the big deal whether it's the first pasuk or the second pasuk? What's the difference? You have a pasuk that you have to observe dinim de Rabbanan. So the Ramban says the difference halacha l'maisa between the Rambam and the Ramban is it's a matter of life and death, one might say. There is a din if a Talmid Chochma has smicha, issues a public psak against the Beis Din HaGadol, he's chay misa because of zaka mamre. And what's the law? And you only give a death penalty, of Malkan Samisa, if the person violated a law. So what law does the Zalkan Mamre violate? So the Gemara says he violates the law. So what's the din if the Zalka Mamre paskins against the Bez Nagadol regarding a din de Rabbanan? For example, an Erev Pesach, a man is Mekadosh Anisha, we had the Gemara previously, a man is Mekadosh Anisha with Chametz B'Shoah Shishis. So when Atara Chametz B'Shoah Shishis, Shoah Shishis between 11 and 12, the last hour before Chatzos. When Atara the Chametz is Mutabano, the Rabbanan, the made Xera, the Chametz Nasabano B'Shoah Shishis. If you're Mekadosh Anisha with Chametz B'Shoah Shishis, she's Zayin B'Kodeshes. So what if the Zalka Mamre paskins against the Bez Nagadol with respect to Issa Hanon Chametz B'Pesach B'Shoah Shishis? So the Rambam writes explicitly, even though it's only an issue of the Rabbanan, he will be Chayv Misa because the Lav of Lo Sosa applies. And the Rambam disagrees, said not Chayv Misa. So that's an Afkamina, Halacha L'Maisa, whether it's based on the first Pasuk or the second Pasuk. If the obligation to observe mitzvahs from the Rabbanan is like the first opinion of the Gemara, that's how the Rambam paskins based on Lysosur, then one can become a Zalka Mamre based on a psak on an issue of the Rabbanan, because Lysosur applies even to Dinim de Rabbanan. But according to the Rambam, there never was such a first opinion. The first opinion was only intended as an asmachtan, the real binding force of the chiyuvim, the mitzvahs from the Rabbanan, is the pasuk shalavicha v'yagedicha. So then on that, there's no chiyuv misa. The Zalka Mamre only gets the inish misa if he violates the law of Lo Sosur. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he doesn't understand why the Ramban made such a big fuss, and you look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes, you only include the Rambam, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives you what are the 14 guiding principles that guided him in determining whether something belongs in the minyan on mitzvahs or not. And if it does belong, whether it should be counted once or several times. Let's say Shabbos. You count, not to do malach on Shabbos is counted as one lav, not to do malach. Why not count it as 39 lavim? 39 different avos malachas. Why not say Shabbos Bereshit, Shabbos Noach, Shabbos Lech Lecha, Shabbos Vayerech, Shabbos Chayisara? No. So not to do malach on Shabbos counts as one lav. Even though you could have counted as 52 lavim, 52 Shabbos in the year, or maybe you should have said it 39 malachas. The Rambam says, no, it's one lav. So the Rambam has 14 sharoshim, 14 guiding principles. We would call it Ikorim. The one who made the original translation from the Arabic to Sefer Mitzvah was originally written in Arabic. So the one who did the original translation calls it Ikorim. So that's what everybody uses that language, Ikorim. So the Rambam says that you only include mitzvahs deraisa in the Taryag mitzvah. You don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. Most of the Moni HaMitzvah did include mitzvahs derabbanan. They included Mikra Megillah, Adlogas Neres Chanuk, and the Tehillas Yadayim, a few other mitzvahs from the Rabbanan. So that's there's a long Ramban. What's the status of mitzvahs from the Rabbanan? The Rambam writes, it's a biblical obligation to observe all the mitzvahs derabbanan, lososa. And the Ramban argues, and it's based on the other pasuk. The Rav Soloveitchik today doesn't understand what's the big machlokes. The Chovos HaGavra, to observe a mitzvah of the Rabbanan, is clearly only mid the Rabbanan. The obligation to observe the mitzvah of the Rabbanan is not min HaTorah. The Haraya, there is a Safik Daraisa L'chom, a Safik Darabbanan L'kula. If every din the Rabbanan, you have to observe min HaTorah, so it should be Safik Daraisa L'chom. But when you learn the din of the Rabbanan, it's considered Talmud Torah on the level of the Daraisa. He thought that everybody agrees to that. The Ramban also agrees. A Cheftza Shel Torah it is on the level of the Daraisa. Rav Soloveitchik used to give shiurim for Balabatim on Gemara Brochets in New York and in Boston. He said, you mean to say that on the much of Brochets is only mid the Rabbanan? Some parts of it are dinim deraisa, kriyashma deraisa, okay. But much of Brochets is only dinim mid the Rabbanan. So he said, would you think that the pshat is that all the shiurim that he gave was all bittul Torah on the level of deraisa? Is only Talmud Torah on the level of the Rabbanan. He thinks that that's not correct. He thinks that all the din of the Rabbanan are considered a Cheftza Shel Torah on the level of the Raisa. And there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the level of the Raisa. The Chovos HaGavra is only with the Rabbanan. So he said the whole machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbanan, is a slight machlokes by Zalka Mamre. Okay, it's a difference between a matter of life and death. Well, Zalka Mamre be Chayv Misa on that, but it's a detail, should be detailed. It's not such a major issue. He didn't understand why the Ramban made such a big fuss about that. Anyway, so that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Sukkah and Memvav, whether one recites a bracha on Mikra and Megillah and Havlokas Neres Chanukah and Lulav Kol Shiva Bizman Hazeh. After the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's Bezdin made 9 takonis. This is one of the 9 takonis. A Lulav Nito Kol Shiva Zecha LeMikdash. So we pass, can you do say a bracha on a mitzvah of the Rabban? One does recite the bracha on a mitzvah of the Rabban. And the Gemara says that takana was kala mitzvahs kulam avarach aleim oivah lasigas. What does mean oivah? In advance of. Oivah means before. The Rishonim understood, why does it say oivah? Why does it say koidim asiyasam? Koidim could mean he'll say the bracha in the morning, he'll do put on the talis in the afternoon. Oivah means immediately before, as opposed to oivah the oivah. How did they get that idea? Because the Gemara says in Menachos, in the sugya of tefillin, tefillin meimisayim avarach aleim. So the Gemara says, after you put the shalyad on your muscle, as you're about to do the hiduk, that's when you say the bracha. A lot of people say the bracha as they're taking out the shalyad from the tefillin zekel. So the Gemara seems to say that that's not proper. Well, the same thing is start saying the bracha. It's at the betzitzis when you're taking the talis out of the talis zekel. That's not right. You have to hold the talis behind your head as you're about to put the talis over your head. Immediately before performing the mitzvah, that's when you say the bracha. That's the din over lasi asam. That's why it doesn't say kaidim. Over has the connotation of not over the over. Immediately before you're about to do the mitzvah, that's when you should say the bracha. And what a b'dieved, a person, let's say, in the morning, you're not supposed to say the bracha and talis and tefillin before mishiakiris chavera berichu gdal aramis. When is mishiakiris chavera? So that's sometime before sunrise. It has to be sometime after Alos HaShachar. But Alos HaShachar is a way before sunrise, over an hour before sunrise. One is Mishiakaris Chadera. Different parts of the world, there'll be different amount of time. It has to do with the degree of the angle below of the sun, below the horizon. So what? How much time is that in New York, sir? Moshe Feinstein writes in his Svarim that he thinks that it's between 35 and 40 minutes before in New York City. Between 35 and 40 minutes before the sun rises. Okay. So let's say a person davened at the early minyan, they put on talis and tefillin over an hour before. By the time they'll get to say Kriya Shema, it'll be Nishiakas Chavera. But when he puts on the talis and tefillin, it's too early. So he should remember to say the bracha on the talis and tefillin later. So sometimes you put on talis and tefillin before, you say Psuka de Zimra. Then say, by the time you finish the Shtabach, everybody can say the bracha on the Saturday tzitzis and on the Yach Tfilin, because he's still wearing the tfilin, he's still wearing the talis. What if it's still not the Zman? It's still not yet the Zman. It's going to become the Zman when he says the Kriya Shema will be the Zman. So you say after the Shmona Esrei, so you have to Tachton, you say the bracha. What if the person put on talis and tfilin, it was so early in the morning, and he never said a bracha, and he took off the talis and tfilin? If it's already, he finished davening at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, the sun rises now around a quarter after 7. He already took off the talis and tefillin. And then he reminds himself 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's way too late. It's too far found. The bracha will not relate back to the talis and tefillin that he fulfilled the mitzvah in the morning. What if as he's taking off the talis and tefillin, he reminds himself immediately then? Can he say the bracha lachem asiyosim? So that's a big machlekes between the Rambam and the Urza Ruah. The Rambam writes a few times, Parfal, Masha Nase, Kra Nase. If you did a mitzvah and you didn't say the bracha, it's too late, you lost your opportunity, and you cannot say the bracha, Lachar Asiyasim. Same thing, Abichas Erisin. The Rambam's opinion is Abichas Erisin is Abichas HaMitzvah that should really be recited by the Chosin over the fact that he's fulfilling a mitzvah, getting married. Because the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, has two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah, Lisa Isha Big Suga the Kiddushin and Mitzvah to get married. And number two, Lifros for Livros, to have children. All the Rishonim disagreed. The Rosh, representing the Balei HaTos, the Rosh in the beginning of the Subas, presents the sheet of the Balei HaTos. There's no mitzvah to get married. Marriage is chal, it's an institution. There's a mitzvah to have children. You're not going to have children without getting married. That's an Issa. To have an affair with a single girl is an Issa. Even if she went to the mikveh, it's an issa. But getting married is not a mitzvah. The Rambam holds that the two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is lisa isha b'ksuba v'kedushin, to get married. And number two is lifras v'livras, to have children. So the Rambam holds that Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited Oyvel Asiyasam immediately before the Chosin is about to give the ring to the Kala. And what if he already gave the ring and said Harayatza? The Rambam says Farfal, Masha Nasa Kra Nasa. You cannot say the Brocha Lachar Asiyasam. And in Yeridayan, Simon Yutes, that's in the Hoshchita, beginning of Yeridayan. So that's Simon Yutes is about Birchas HaShchita. So the Shach over there has a long essay, and he quotes that there is a Ruah disagrees with the Rambam. Ezra doesn't quote the Rambam, but he proves in the last Mishnah Psochim that a bracha can be recited. But the Eved, if he said a bracha lachar asiyasam on a mitzvah, it would also be acceptable. How do you see? Because the Mishnah bracha says if you're eating two foods together, one is an ikar, one is a tofel. Let's say you have a baked potato, and you melt some butter on it, and you have salt on it. So eating a potato with a bracha is bar kri hadama. And you're eating melted butter and salt with a bracha shakol nihi abidvara. So do you have to say two different brachas? So the Mishnah bracha says, no, if you're eating one food that has an ikar and a tofel, the main thing is really potato. And the salt and the butter, the melted butter, is to add a little flavoring to the potato. So you only say bracha on the ikar, and that covers the tofel. You don't have to say bracha on the tofel if you're eating it together. If you eat the tofel first, then you have to say bracha. But if you're eating everything together, the ikar and the tofel, or you eat the tofel first, then you eat the ikar first and the tofel later, then no bracha is recited on the tofel. So Rabbi Shmuel has a machlokes with Rabbi Akiva in the very last Mishnah in the Sikhta. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that on Pesach night, and days of the Beis Hamikdash, he first Chagigas Arba Osa and the Chumash, it talks about the Chagos Amosa, Chag Lashem, on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, when you have to bring a Shalmei Chagiga on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Tzubiach, the Shechtet, on Yom Tov, on Chalamoy, the Chagos Amosa, Chag. Doesn't mean you should celebrate a holiday, you should bring a Korban Chagiga. The word chag in biblical Hebrew means a korban chagiga, or means a holiday where there is a chiv to bring a korban chagiga. Strictly speaking, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not called a chag. And chag Purim is not the biblical Hebrew. Purim is not a chag. You're not mechayev to bring a chagiga. And Hanukkah we call chag ha'urim, the holiday of the lights. Strictly speaking, Hanukkah is not a chag. Strictly speaking, the Ramah says Shmini Atzeres is not a chag. Shmini Atzeres, you're not mechuyev to bring a korban chagiga. So on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, you're mechuyev to bring a korban chagiga. So that's what it says in the Chumash. Chagigas Sholosh Ugolim. That's what it says in the Chumash. Then on Erev Pesach, you bring a chagigas Arba Osar. That's a machlekes Hatanoim. We pass on chagigas Yud Dalet Nisan is only midirabbanan. Why did they introduce another chagiga? What do you need another chagiga? Tomorrow on Yom Tov, on Chalamot Pesach, I'll bring a chagiga that says Nechumish. Why did they introduce another chagiga in Erev Pesach? So Tesis on Daf Ayin Omer Aleph and Psochem quotes the Yerushalmi because a lot of people can't afford to eat meat all year long. On Pesach night, you have to eat meat because some people are vegetarians all year long. On principle, they don't want to eat meat. On Pesach night, even if you have to choke on it, you have to eat the Korban Pesach. So we're afraid that some people are poor, and they haven't had a piece of meat in the longest time, so they may be so eager to eat the Korban Pesach, they may, by mistake, chew into the bones of the Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach has to be beef. Not like human beings are born every day of the year, different people are born. By behemoths, there's a season. So the Chodesh Nisan is the season when the behemoths are born. And you can't bring a korban Pesach if it was born last year. A Pesach Shavah Shnasa is possible. Chata Shavah Shnasa also is no good. It has to be before the first birthday. That's called Bashnasa. Bashnasa, not the way in English we say the baby is 1 year old, means it's after the first birthday. In the Chumash, when it says 1 year old, it means within the first year, before the first birthday. After the first birthday, it's already called Bashteshanim. It's into the second year already. So the Korban Pesach was just born a couple of days ago when you bring the Korban Pesach. The bones are not yet hard. So there's a concern if you're going to eat the Korban Pesach and some people haven't had a piece of meat in a year or in a long time. So they may be so eager to eat the meat, they may chew by mistake the bone of the Korban Pesach. And that's also a violation. Etzmalo Sishburu Bo, even if you're chewing the bone in order to eat it. Even if you want to eat the marrow inside the bone, you're not allowed to chew the bones of the Korban Pesach. So to prevent, to try to help prevent people from chewing into the bones, and they made a takonim in the Rabbanon, first eat chagigas harba osar, that you can chew the bones all you want. According to the other Tana, who holds that chagigas ben tema, was a Tana who lived as Ban Abayis, by Sheni. He was of the opinion chagigas harba osar is a din derais, and has all the dinim like a Korban Pesach. So just like Korban Pesach has a din etzem lozish burbo, chagigas harba osar also has a din etzem lozish burbo. According to ben tema, you don't accomplish anything. You don't accomplish anything with the Rabbanon by eating a chagiga first before the Korban Pesach. There's a din of etzmal shish barban a chagiga also. He holds chagigas abos is a din deraisa. He learns it out from a pasuk in Chumash. But we hold the halacha. The whole idea of chagigas abos is only with the Rabbanon to prevent people from chewing into the Korban Pesach. So they already had a little bit of flesh tonight. So they're not going to be so eager to chew into the Korban Pesach. So this will help prevent them from chewing it into on the bones. So the Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah Masechta, is of the opinion that the two karbonas that you eat on Pesach night, one is a nikar, one is a tofel. If you can speak about mitzvahs like that, eating food, say this is a nikar and that's a tofel. He said, Rabbi Shmuel says, in mitzvahs also, sometimes you have a nikar and a tofel. The ikar mitzvah is the Korban Pesach that you're eating. Chagigas HaBasa is a tofel to the Korban Pesach. That's an order that he shouldn't, by mistake, chew into the bones of the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah has, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, we don't pass on it, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that just like Birch Halika Patas HaTvela applies to Birchas HaNehenin in the Mishnah and Brachas, so too it applies to Birchas HaMitzvah. So if you say the Bracha on the Korban Pesach, it patas you from a Bracha on the Korban Chagiga. Say a Bracha on the Korban Chagiga does not patas you on the Korban Pesach. So the Ozeruah asks, what do you mean? You say a bracha on the Korban Pesach, a patas on the Korban Chagiga. Which one do you eat first? You always eat the Chagiga first, in order that the Pesach should be nechal ala sova. The whole idea of eating the Korban Chagiga first, that the Pesach, he shouldn't break any bones in the Korban Pesach. Mishum shvira setzem. So if he eats the Chagiga first, what do you mean? When he says the bracha on the Pesach, a patas the Chagiga, but he eats the tofel before the Iker. He's eating whenever you eat an ikar and a tofel. If you're going to have the tofel first, then you say a bracha and the tofel. You don't say a bracha if you're eating two foods together. If you're eating the both simultaneously, first you're eating the ikar, then the tofel later, then you only say a bracha and the ikar. But if you're eating the tofel first, then of course you say a bracha. So how can the Mishnah say, Birach ala Pesach, Pater Vesach Hagiga? The Pesach you eat after the Korban Chagiga. So what's going on in the Mishnah? The Mishnah at the end of the Masechta. So the Ozeruah interprets that the Mishnah is talking about an ukimta case, a rare case. It doesn't say in the Mishnah. He says, Hochma Maaskinan, the Mishnah is talking about a case. He forgot to say the bracha before. You first eat the chagiga on Pesach. First you wash on, you have half a seder. And then you get to moitzi matzah. You say, ha-moitzi lach maras alach ilus matzah. You eat the matzah. And then you have the korban chagigas habasa. And then you have the Korban Pesach. So he ate the chagiga, he forgot to say a bracha. It doesn't say in the Mishnah. That's what the Ozeruah is interpreting. The Mishnah means he ate the chagiga, he forgot to say the bracha on the chagiga. Then he eats the Korban Pesach and he reminds himself, hey, I forgot to say a bracha on the chagiga. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, if he'll say a bracha on the ikir, not instead of saying a bracha la'achar asiyosam on the chagiga, say a bracha oivel asiyosam on the Korban Pesach, and the bracha and the Korban Pesach will cover the chagiga that he ate already, based on the din of ikar and tofel, berach ala ikar patas hatvil. But hatvila, you shouldn't never have such a case, because you're eating the chagiga before the Korban Pesach. So you really should have said the bracha and the chagiga over lasiyasim before you eat the chagiga. Mishnah is talking about the rare case he forgot to say the bracha and the chagiga, and now he finished eating all the chagiga. They divided up among the people and the bnei hachabura, a whole group of people. So he got his piece of chagiga. He ate it up already. And now the question is, should he say a bracha on the chagiga, lacha rasiyasim, and say another bracha on the Korban Pesach, or should only say a bracha on the Korban Pesach? So that's a machlekes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says that bracha la Pesach, pater is a chagiga, that b'dieved, you could have really said a bracha lacha rasiyasim on the chagiga, but he's going to say a bracha on the Korban Pesach, so that'll cover the chagiga. So that's his mocker. That's where the Ozeruah got his mocker. that l'chatchili you should really say all the brachas over achiyas and bapad yeh. But if you didn't, then you can still say the bracha l'achal achiyas. So this is the machlokes, the Rambam and the Or Zoruah. The Rambam writes explicitly more than once that if you did a mitzvah and if you got to say the bracha yoytze the mitzvah b'yeh, the bracha is not mi'akev. And if you didn't say the bracha over l'achiyasam, masha nasik v'nasa v'fal, it doesn't make sense to say the bracha. The Or Zoruah disagrees. The Or Zoruah holds that b'diyeh, but you can't say the bracha, even l'achar asiyos. We pointed out the Balei HaTosfos are of the opinion that the Rosh and the Balei HaTosfos, that's the last line in the Tosfos Zayin Amud Aleph, the Birchas Harisin is bechlal not a Birchas HaMitzvah. The Balei HaTosfos hold that the only mitzvah is Piri V'Rivya. It's like buying a lulav. Buying a lulav is not a mitzvah. Buying a lulav is a heksha mitzvah because you need shalachem on the first 2 days of Sukkot. You need shalachem. So getting married is a heksha mitzvah. It enables you to fulfill a mitzvah of having children. But there's no mitzvah to get married. But the Rambam says, so according to the Balei HaTosfos, the birchas erisin is really a birchas shevach v'hodah. It's not really a birchas mitzvah, even though it starts off hashech nishana v'mitzvah yisov v'tzivanu. But it doesn't end off l'kaddish esavisha. It ends off a long, complicated bracha. That's really a bracha shevach v'hodah. Really should be preferred to say the bracha la'achar asiyosim. That's what Tosfos says. That's the last line in the Tosfos on Zayinim Aleph Teda. Sherei bracha erisin enim bracha la'achar erisin. Because the bracha shevach v'hodah is always after you see the Yom Gadol and after you see the lightning and after you hear the thunder. And after you see the Alps, and after you see the ocean, and all these kind of things, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah is always required la'achar asiyosim, not the oivel asiyosim. So that's what the Tosfos holds. The Birchas Harisin is really preferable is that you should say the bracha la'achar asiyosim because of the Rambam's opinion. According to the Rambam, if you say la'achar asiyosim, it will be a bracha levatola on the Birchas Harisin. So we want to satisfy the Rambam also. So we say the bracha oivel asiyosam. According to Tosfos, it will also be good. Preferable would be after the kiddushin, but to say before is also good. But if they forgot to say the birchas eris and the chosan already gave the ring said harayat, then we really follow Tosfos that it's not a birchas hamitzvah. Yeah. How do you know we follow Tosfos? How do we know we follow Tosfos? I mentioned that the Afika Yam is a sefer that was written. It was written, the fellow who the Talmud Chacham wrote it was a businessman. Then he became a rabbi later in life. Very strong sefer, quotes Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and the Or Sameach. He lived, he spoke and learning with a lot of great giants, a lot of big Talmud Chachamim. So he says Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger was the dayan in Brisk by Reb Chaim and by Reb Velvela Soloveitchik. I think he was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war. His son used to teach in Yeshiva High School and a college in my time. He used to teach Tanakh. His son learned in Slobodka, and he taught Tanakh in YU. So the father of Simcha Zelig learned in Valozhin, and he had Hoiroas, he had original Psokim on every page in Shulchan Aruch. So, and this Sefer, Afika Yam, he quotes from Simcha Zelig, told him that they would be Masada Kiddushin for a couple who would be getting married. Even though the boy and the girl were both communists, and it means that they're both atheists. They didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in Elokeinu, Melech Olam, Kitshana, Vitzivana. They didn't believe in anything. So how does the rabbi say the Birchas Harisin? According to the Rambam, Birchas Harisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah that the Chassan should say, as the Chassan is about to fulfill a mitzvah. The Chassan doesn't believe in anything. Doesn't believe in Elokim. It doesn't believe in Torah and Hashemayim. So what are you saying at bracha for him? So he says, because we assume, not like the Rambam, that it's a birchas hamitzvah on the chosen. And the rabbi says the bracha on behalf of the chosen. It's a birchas shevach v'hodah. You have a minyan of 10 religious people. The chosen kala are not non-believers. They're communists. The communists were all atheists. They're communists. But you have a minyan of 10 people. So the kiddushin is chal, because he says he's going to marry the girl. So it's not a chiyav bracha on the chassan. It's a din, a birchas shevach v'hodah. When you have a minyan of people, you say the birchas erisin. So that's Rabbi Simcha Zelig said, we really hold like that the shita's Balei HaTosfos, that it's a birchas shevach v'hodah. So then you can really say the bracha. Maybe you should say the bracha l'achar asiyosim in such a case. If the chassan is a non-believer, it's not going to serve as a bichas mitzvah at all. We're only relying on the Tysons that it's a bichas shevach hadar. Anyway, that's a big machlekes, the Rambam and the Yod. How do we paskin? How do we paskin? Can you say bracha lachar asiyosim? Can you say bichas mitzvah lachar asiyosim? So there in Shechita, the Gemara says, on the top of Zion on the base. When the Sheikh is about to shecht, he says, what's the mitzvah to shecht? Yeah, the Rambam counts it as one of the mitzvahs in the Torah to shecht. What do you mean a mitzvah? A mitzvah to shecht? So just like we have Hasogas Haravid on the whole Mishnah Torah, we have Hasogas Haravid on the Sefer mitzvahs as well. So the Ravid is masig on this. He says, maybe it's a lav habom mechlala say. If you eat nevela meat from the A&P that never had a shechita, maybe that's what the Rama means, that it's an essay, it's an isra essay. In addition to the isra nevela, l'sechel kol nevela, there's an isra essay that you're supposed to shech the animal in advance. You shouldn't eat enu zvucha, you shouldn't eat basa that never had a shechita. But to say that it's a mitzvah, so the Keser Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam from the Hasogas Haravid. He takes it that the Ravid was masig on the Rambam, so the Keser Mishnah says, no, the Rambam is of the opinion that if you're interested in eating meat, then it's a mitzvah to shecht. So how are we in fulfillment of the mitzvah today? I'm interested in eating chicken. I don't go to the shechet and ask him to shecht the chicken for me. My wife has in the freezer. She has meat. So someone wrote a sefer 100 years ago. So he wrote, all of the shochtim have in mind that whoever wants to eat the meat, they're doing the mitzvah of shechita on RBF. They're ashluchim. What do you mean? The meat is going to be sold in different parts of the United States. I live in the East Coast. Someone else in the West Coast is going to buy part of the same animal. They're going to sell it all over the country. So the shochet has in mind to act as a shliach on behalf of all of the customers who it'll turn out that they're going to eat from this animal. A very difficult idea. So someone wrote such a sefer, and he sent a copy of the sefer to Reb Chaim Berlin. Reb Chaim Berlin was the oldest son of the Netziv from his first wife. The Netziv's first wife passed away. Then he married his niece, who was significantly younger than him. His niece was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan, the sister of the author of the Torah Tmima. That's why the Torah Tmima learned in Voloshin. So whenever he refers to his uncle, the Netziv, he wrote an autobiography of Baruch Epstein, Mekor Baruch. He writes about his family background, the Mekor Baruch, where the background is. So he wrote one section in the Mekor Baruch is about his uncle, the Netziv. So that's the one that they put out a whole book in English, My Uncle, the Netziv. Someone recently... This fellow, Eitan Henkin, who was killed by an Arab in Eretz Yisrael, was quite a Talmud Chacham. He was a great grandson of Rabbi Henkin. Rabbi Henkin was the big poysik in New York before Rabbi Moshe came. So this Eitan Henkin wrote a whole book about the Aruch HaShulchan. The book was printed after he was killed. They had the whole book on his computer. So they printed it. It's very interesting. So he writes, apparently Rabbi Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, was a son of the Aruch HaShulchan. He wasn't so influenced by his father. When he wrote his autobiography, he writes in the introduction to the book, he's going to tell you all about his father. He hardly has anything about his father. He has much more about his uncle than Netziv in the book, because all the years when he was growing up, he was in Voloshin. And he hardly had any shaykhs with his father. He didn't know his father so well. There are a lot of things that the Torah Tmima takes a stand on, and his father has the exact same stand, or an opposite stand. He does mention that his father said fakir. He does mention that his father said like that. He had very little to do with his father. It's very interesting. Yeah. So the second wife, after the Netziv's first wife passed away, his second wife was his sister's daughter. The sister, her maiden name was Berlin. She was married to the Aruch HaShulchan. So when the Moshulach came from the yeshiva, and they said that the Aruch HaShulchan didn't know that the first wife had passed away, Moshulach came and said, he's raising money for Voloshin Yeshiva. they're also looking for a shidduch for the netziv. So his niece had been married to a fellow, and she ran away from her husband because she decided that he's not a talmid chacham, and she refuses to live in marriage with an am haaretz. And it was against the law to run away from your husband, so the police were looking for her in the forest. She was hiding in the forest. It was against the law to run away from your husband. So she hid long enough till the police gave up hope of finding her. Then she went back to her parents, to Dar HaShulchan, and they said, what, are you crazy? What, you run away from your husband? He said, he's an Amoritz. She's not going to live with an Amoritz. So they said, he's never going to give you a get. So she'll remain in Aguna and so on. So finally he gave her a get. And then they said, who's going to want to marry who? Well, no one wants to marry. It was such an embarrassment to marry a girl who is divorced. So she won't get married. So then when they said that they're looking for a shidduch for the Rosh Hashiva, for the netziv, so she was something like 30 years younger or more. So she said, he knows how to learn, I'll marry him. So that was the netziv's second marriage. She married his niece, who was much younger than him. And they had Rameir Bar Ilan was the son of the netziv from the second wife. Rameir Bar Ilan was one of the leaders in Mizrahi, Bar Ilan University. It was named after him. There was a period of time that he was involved in the administration of Yeshiva University also, Rameir Bar Ilan. I think he taught in TI or something. He was involved in the founding TI. Chaim Berlin was much older. Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv and the first wife. Rameir Bar Ilan was the son of the Netziv and the second wife. So Chaim Berlin has in the collection of letters that they have, originally they put out the alumni, Chaim Berlin put out originally one volume, and then I think it turned into two or three volumes collected letters. So he has a letter, he disagrees with this Talmid Chacham. He said, the Talmid Chacham wrote that the Kesa Mishnah is right, that the Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah, the shecht, and it means whenever you're interested in eating meat, it's a gloy milsel mafreya that the shechet in Iowa had you all in mind that he's doing the mitzvah on your behalf. So he says, how can it be? He thinks that the Kesa Mishnah is wrong. Chaim Berlin thinks the Kesa Mishnah is wrong. He thinks that the Rama meant the same as the Ravid. It's not a machlek as the Rama and Ravid. The Rama meant that it's an Iser Asay, not to eat Enitzvah. It didn't mean that it's a mitzvah sasik to shech. That's why you don't say lishchet, you say alashchita. If he shecht in Karbonah, says taka lishchet, lishchet es hazevach. It's a mitzvah on the Bala Karbon. If he knows how, he should shecht his own mitzvah bo yosem b'shluchot. Even if he's not a kohen, but shchita ksher desar. So it's a mitzvah, he should shecht. But if it's shchitas chulin, that's not a mitzvah, that's a matir. Yeah, so that's a shaila. In Yerideh Siman Yud Tes, the Rambam quotes the following. If you have an animal that before we shecht it, we know in advance that there's a suffix that it may be a treifa. So when you shecht the treifa, the shchita is chal to be matayim edein avela. So Rashi's opinion, they quote Yerideh, Rashi's opinion is that when you shecht an animal knowing in advance that it's a treifa, you still say a brocha ala shchita. We don't paskan like Rashi. Our practice is, if you know in advance that it's a treifa, we don't say a brocha, because you only say a brocha if it's going to be mater b'achil. So what if you have an animal which is nefula, fell down a flight of stairs, and it may be a treifa, may have a nekev in the reya. So that's the Ramah writes, you don't say a brocha in advance of the shchita. After you do the shchita, you boidek to see if it's a treifa, and if it's not a treifa, then you say a brocha. So that's a big, there's a long shach over there. So there are two ways to read the Ramah. The Ramah is paskin like the Erez Arua, that b'dieved you can say brocha l'acharasi asam. You don't paskin like the Ramah. Or it could be that in this case, even the Ramah would agree, like the Gemara says, b'kora gabra l'chazi. If he wasn't able to say the brocha l'acharasi asam, then you say the brocha l'acharasi asam, just like by tefilas hagir. So that's the shaila that Achrenim have. Did the Ramah say, the Ramah is paskin like the Erez Arua? That b'dieved, whenever you can't say a bracha over l'asiyosam, you can say the bracha l'achar asiyosam, or not so. That is the question.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Regarding the Rambam and the Ravid, why do you have to say that igale milsa, that it's a shliach? Can you just say that the mitzvah is on the shoichet, not the person eating?
A mitzvah on the shoichet, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't like here. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought like the Aruch HaShulchan. I like what's his name? I like Rav Chaim Berlin. He didn't think it was a mitzvah. He said, what do you mean? The sheikh doesn't learn a word. He stands there and he shechts 100 chickens in an hour. And that's, he's doing 100 mitzvahs. He didn't think it's a mitzvah on anybody. He didn't think it, he didn't think that it made sense to say that the shechet is becoming a mitzvah by shechting animals. He didn't think it's a mitzvah on the people to see to it that the animal is geshechted before they're about to eat. He thought shechita is a matir, and the Rama meant like the Ravid that it's an iser asay. Okay, you could say it like that, but he didn't like the whole thing. He thought like Rav Chaim Balin thought. Yeah. The Gemara says that the ger, the way Tosis learns over here, B'Shem Rabbein Hananel, the ger who converts, Hakati Gavel or Chazi, he couldn't have said the bracha before. He can't say Asher Kedushana B'Mitzvos of Tzivon if he's not Jewish. That's how the Rabbein Hananel learns Pshat and Gemara. So here there was a question, Rav Soloveitchik raised the question, what if you have a ger cut, mat bilamoso al das bezn? So probably the bezn will say the bracha ala tfilo. So the Bez not Jewish already, so maybe they can say the bracha over lasi yosam by tefilas hager. So that's what the Ravid writes in the Sefer Bali HaNefesh, that the only time you say the ger says the bracha la'achar ha'tefila, that's if it's a ger godel, and he's going to say, an adult, he's going to say the bracha himself. But if it's a ger katan, and the Bezin is going to say the bracha, the Bezin ought to say the bracha in advance. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't aware of that. So he said he once participated in the gerus of a ger katan, and b'shas ma'ase, he was wondering, should the bezin say the bracha before or after? So he thought maybe, since by a ger gadol, you have this consideration, akati gaber lochazi, he couldn't have said the bracha before, you have no choice, you have to say the bracha after. So maybe they instituted the birchas hatvila by the ger, like always lacharasi osam. Even if it's going to be a ger katan and the bezin is going to say the bracha, maybe it's a bracha on the chalois, like you have by shechita, that there's a taz like that in Yeridah, Simon Aleph, that the bracha ala shechita is not really a bracha samitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah to shecht. It's a matir. So it's a bracha on the chalois heter. Like when you make an erevei chatzeres, you make an erevei trumen, you say a bracha, it's a matir. Sometimes you say a bracha that you did a matir. So maybe the bracha on Tfilas Hager is a bracha on the Chalois. It's not that the bracha should have really been Oivel Asiyosam, and when you can't, then you say Lachar Asiyosam. Even if you could say Oivel Asiyosam, maybe Kach Tikno Chachamim, that the bracha on Tfilas Hager is a bracha on the Chalois. That was his suggestion, a possibility. But the Ravid writes not so. The Ravid writes when the Bezin is in the Geir, the Geir Katan, they should say the bracha. The common practice today in many Batidinim is that the Bezin does not recite a bracha at all on a ger katan on the tefillah. Why? Because there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was known as the Bnei Yisoschar, Rabbi Hirsch Melech Dinever. So he wrote a sefer in Halacha. Most of his farm are all in Chassidus and Kabbalah. And he has a sefer on halacha that's called Derech Pikudecho. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place in the Bir Halacha. The Derech Pikudecho is a commentary on the Minyan on Mitzvahs. It only goes to the middle of Mishpatim, 40 some odd mitzvahs, I think, 40, 50 some odd mitzvahs. The Chassidim are not sure whether he never wrote the rest of the sefer or the rest was lost. But all we have is till the middle of Mishpatim. So on the mitzvah of Bris Milah, this week Parshas Lech Lecha has the mitzvah of Milah. So in the mitzvah of Milah, he talks about Milas Hager also. So he talks about the bracha ala tefillah. So he says, since the Gemara says, Ger kot mat bilamosa das bezn higdili cholam limchais, Rabbi Yosef says, higdilu, when you megayer a little infant, is based on zochel yodim shlei befonov. So as soon as the child gets older, he matures, he reaches the age of 13, and he decides he would rather not be Jewish. He did him a disservice, and he can declare, I don't want the whole thing. He can reject the whole zoche. Let's say, I want to give a gift to someone who's not here. I give you the gift. You pick it up on his behalf. Then he finds out that you picked up a gift on his behalf. He says, he doesn't want to be indebted to me. He doesn't want the gift. So the Gemara says, b'feirish in chulan and af mem. If he's tzovech mitchila v'yadzof, if his initial reaction when he hears about it is that he doesn't want it, then he breaks up the zochen. So here also, the child is an infant now. He doesn't know what's going on. When he reaches adulthood, when he reaches 13, And he says he'd rather not be Jewish than he's mevatel the whole Zochin. And it comes out that he's not Jewish at all. So that's what the Bnei Yisoscha raises the possibility in his Sefer, maybe by Ger Kotten, it's a Sofik. It may turn out that the whole tefillah in the mikveh was not valid at all. Then Mila, you do say a bracha on the Mila. Because even if he says later on, I don't want to be Jewish, if he'll change his mind again, decide that he does want to be Jewish, we won't have to repeat the Mila. You don't need Das Geris at the time of the Mila. Pashta says, even if I take a Nochri and I do a Bris Mila on him against his wishes and he's screaming bloody murder, he doesn't want it. And I'm Malhim L'Shem Geris. The Pashta says the Mila L'Shem Geris is valid, even if he doesn't want. At some later date, if he'll want, so he'll be able to rely on that Mila. But the Tefillah, if he says, I don't want, he doesn't want, so the Tefillah is not Chal. So that should be really a Sofik Brachas L'Hokel. So that's a question. There's a Rashba in Ksubas in the first parak. Ruba de Ruba, if the Bezdin was Megai Rekotten, based on Zoch Leon Shalifonim, is going to be raised by an Orthodox family, he probably will not be Moichet. Probably will not be Moichet. So you should go Basarayv. So that's not called Sofik the Rabban Lekula. Don't say Bracha because it's not a 50-50 Sofik. The Rav is that he probably will not be Moichet. But that's a big debate. That you go basarayv when we have the klal sofik brachas lahakel. Many noisikelim on the Rambam are of the opinion. Halacha Mishnah and many others. Chacham Avadya talks about it in more than one tshuva. Many are of the opinion that the Rambam sheet is that sofik brachas lahakel is much more inclusive than sofik the rabbanu lekula. Even if the roiv is that you are mechuyev to say bracha, you still say sofik brachas lahakel. It has to start off as a bracha the rabbanu. If it's a bracha deraisa, you don't say sofik brachas lahakel. It's a bracha derabbanan. But then we apply sofik brachas lahakel, even in a case where you wouldn't be able to say sofik derabbanan kul, even if the roiv is that you should say a bracha. Let's say I buy new forks and knives at pots and pans. So you need tefillah kelim. So you only need tefillah kelim if the kelim at some time or another belong to a non-Jew. There is a rare chance that the factory where they manufactured the kelim is owned by a Jewish person, and the middleman who bought it from the factory, who delivers it, the supplier who delivers it to the store, is also Jewish, and the store is owned by Jews. The likelihood is that the odds are that probably either the manufacturer or the supplier or the store is owned by non-Jews. But there is a far-out chance that all the way through, everything was owned by Jews. So Chacham Avadya talks about that. Do you go basarayv to say there's not a sofik bracha? It's a halpi rov. It's a vadei bracha. You say no. Sofik brachas lahakel is even much more inclusive than sofik derabbanan lekula. So that's why many batedinim have the practice when religious parents are adopting a non-Jewish baby, they won't say a bracha on the tefillah. On the milah, they will say a bracha because the milah can't be undone. But on the tefillah, they won't say a bracha because it's a sofik bracha slahakal, sofik bracha lavatola. May turn out the kid will be moicha later on, come out that he's not Jewish at all. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. Very good. We should have a healthy bechina. Bechina is coming up, I think, on Wednesday. Good. What time? Morning.
10 o'clock.
Okay, I think tomorrow maybe I'll continue to learn some more Gemara. We'll continue in the Perek. Nice, cheerful Masechta. All the Masechta are good. Thank you very much for the use of the laptop.